Let me call your attention to our scriptural passage for this morning. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, the first four verses. Listen to these words from Luke's writing. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. And it's going to be on the screen, so I want you to get ready for be prepared to share as well. It says, "Give us this day." Give us this day. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Give us this day. Amen. I'm so pleased to share with you that Christ wants a relationship with you and with me. And he's begging for that relationship. And so I extend an invitation to you. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he wants you to accept him and come into the fold. And if you are so inspired to do so immediately after our worship experience, you can share with one of the clergy and we will help you in that process. It's all about having a relationship with Christ. Amen. Let me also announce that next Sunday, many of you have already asked, next Sunday, our chancel choir will be back. Let's give them a hand in advance. Praise be to God. Yeah, we were so desperate for singers, I was thinking about doing it myself. Amen. Amen. That wasn't a joke. Well, I want to share with you out of this context of Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. It's also recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, known incorrectly as the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer, or the disciples' prayer. As Jesus is responding to the request of one of his disciples, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They wanted to know how to communicate with God. It was a great theologian and philosopher, Thomas Aquinas, who said, "In life, we need to know three important documents, the Apostle Creed, the Ten Commandments, and how to pray." He said that the Apostle Creed teaches us what to believe. The Ten Commandments that are located in Exodus, it reminds us of what we should do. And prayer teaches us how to communicate with a God who loves us. It's so important for us to remember that God wants to hear from you and from me. And he's opened up the door for us to communicate with him. Doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter what we're dealing with, God will answer prayer in one of three ways. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But God will answer our prayers. Don't let anyone fool you. There are many folks who will say there's no God, no need of praying to God. God won't hear your prayers. Oh, yes, he will. God will hear and answer our prayers. You remember even the psalmist said, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." But we believe in a God who's willing and lovingly waiting to hear from each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. And several of you can testify, as well as myself, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God responding to our prayers. That's just good to know. Well, I want to share with you as it relates to this passage of Scripture and the context of this passage of Scripture, because it reminds me of how good God is and continue to be to each and every one of us day in and day out. He's a loving, caring God, and we can call on Him and depend on Him, and He will respond. Let me share this with you as it relates to how good God is. One writer said it this way. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today is cash on hand. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. It's so important as we look at this passage of Scripture to be reminded that Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. And of course, you heard me ask you the question last week, why did He teach this pattern for prayer, this structure for prayer? And here are the three responses. Number one, Jesus Himself was a man of prayer. He believed in praying to God and communicating with God. He would leave the disciples and the multitude, and He would go and pray. He would steal away. You remember, there used to be a song about steal away to Jesus. He would communicate with God. Number two, prayer draws us closer to God. It draws us closer to God. And prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. It is communicating to a God who sits high but looks low and responds to the prayers of His children. The late President Woodrow Wilson said it this way as it relates to this prayer request. In the model prayer, the first request is for daily bread. You might want to write this down. No one can worship God or love his neighbor on an empty what? Stomach. On an empty stomach. Isn't that good? On an empty stomach. I dare you to go to Houston, Texas, and the surrounding areas and talk about, hey, I just want to read the scriptures to you and pray to you. First, we must meet the people's needs. And then we open up the gospel, and then God will let the floodgates flow. He's correct. God will use our hands and our feet to make a difference as an extension of His Son's life. God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to continue to pray and to continue to rely upon Him and share His word without also knowing we have a responsibility as well as Christians to meet the needs of others. And it's a great opportunity in the month of September as our church look forward to having not just a September Serve Sunday, but throughout the month, each and every day, making a difference in the lives of others. You look at this passage of Scripture very closely and you'll see how indeed it is the pattern of prayer. It is the model prayer. Now, the model prayer has seven petitions. As I stated last week, three of them are directed to God. When we start praying the model prayer, we start off by acknowledging and respecting God. It doesn't matter what translation you have. Each translation reminds us to say what? Our Father. To acknowledge Him as our Father. There's no single pronoun in the model prayer. It's inclusive. It's collective. We say our Father, not my Father or your Father, but our Father. Last week I shared that picture with you of the church in Jerusalem. Some asked, what was the name of that church in Jerusalem? And what was the Our Father church? And it reminds us of that Latin word as it relates to our Father. You remember that word? Does anyone remember? Palinosta. Palinosta. That's the Latin word. It reminds us how we start that prayer out by acknowledging God as our Father. And then it gives us the other reference to how holy respect His name, and that indeed His kingdom will come. But the first request out of the four, the last four, the first request is give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jesus is not saying don't plan for the future. Don't save for tomorrow. But he's acknowledging that we should ask daily for God to give us our daily bread, our substance. And don't you know bread and food takes time? It takes time. How many cooks do we have out there by show of hands? Yeah, it takes time. It takes time. Now, we have all kind of cooks. We have excellent cooks, and then we have some cooks who love, you know, they're just spiritual. They love to cook up a burnt offering. Oh, you got that, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. But preparing food takes time. It takes time to grow the food. It takes time to harvest the food. It takes time to clean the food. It takes time to sell the food. It takes time to buy the food from grocery stores, then take the food home and then wash it again and prepare it. It takes time. It takes time to eat and to share in a fellowship meal. It takes time to store leftover food. It takes time to, even after we have consumed too much food, to get some medicine to calm us down in our stomachs. But it all goes to time. There are books on how to cook. There are magazines. And guess what? There are television shows. How many of you just love to watch those cooking shows? Folks working and even little kids. Yeah. Master Chef, Junior Master Chef. I mean, all kind of shows that remind us of how to prepare food. But look at Jesus sharing with his disciples. He tells them that first request is to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. When you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Let me give you 3 points. Number one, we are acknowledging our complete dependency upon God. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm depending upon you. Oh, yes, we must prepare ourselves spiritually, educationally, and financially. But then we also must realize and humble ourselves and know that we must depend upon a God who loves us. There are some things that the doctors can't cure. There's some situations that we can't get ourselves out of. But we can depend upon a God who loves us. Amen. Number two, we are recognizing that we must come to him on a daily basis and seeking his hand and provision. Come to him on a daily basis. I said at the last service, we're not to just repeat the Lord's Prayer or the motto prayer as a microwave dinner. You know how you put a dinner in the microwave and poof, it's done. Well, we shouldn't come to God and say, I just prayed to God, poof, God should answer my prayers. But God wants to hear from us. He wants us to spend time with him. How many of us have friends, 2 or 3? Just raise your hands. How many of us, just quick survey, how many of us communicate at least once a day with a person that we call a friend? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. That's staying connected. Well, guess what? If we can do that for our friend, our buddy, our colleague, our co-worker, our family member that we see that is so dear to us, guess what we ought to do with God? We ought to communicate with God daily. He wants to hear from you and from me. In fact, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're seeking God's hand. It is God's hand that continues to extend itself to you and to me with all that we have. I don't care how hard we have worked for it, how hard we have labored for it, how many degrees we have behind our name, it all comes from the hand of God. Amen. He loves you and me, and he's seeking to provide for us each and every day. Well, lastly, this point. Bread was a powerful symbol of God's provision for his people in the Old and New Testament. It was so powerful as it relates to bread. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, when you go home, or just read as it relates to Genesis as well, and you'll see that the children of Israel, they were now freed from slavery, freed from captivity, freed from bondage, freed from old Pharaoh. And now God was leading and guiding them out of the wilderness. And you know what happened? When they got out of the wilderness, guess what they started doing? Complaining. Moaning and groaning against Moses and against God. Let me ask you, how many of you know people, don't raise your hands, how many of you know people who are always complaining? Always complaining. Just like today, the sun is shining, they'll start complaining, say it's too hot, I want it to rain. It was raining yesterday. They say, I hope it stopped raining because now I want it to be hot. I want it to be sunny. Just always complaining. The children of Israel was complaining so, and the hunger pains hit their bellies. So Moses was able to communicate with God, and God promised that he would feed them with manna, with bread from on high. And God fed them. But then look at the New Testament. In the New Testament, it deals with bread as well. Because if you look closely in the New Testament around Matthew, the 5th chapter, you'll see that Jesus was sharing with the multitude. He was sharing the Beatitudes, all of the different blessings. And he realized that the crowd now was getting a little hungry. And he asked his disciples if they would feed him, but they said, Lord, we have nothing. In other words, we're broke. That's no joke. But there was a little boy who had a lunch. You know what he had in that lunch box? Two what? Two fish and 5 loaves of bread. His mother prepared him for that day. They brought that lunch of that little boy to Jesus. And just like he's getting ready to do now with these elements here, he prayed first. And then he had the disciples to distribute the lunch to over 5,000. And everyone had food. And the Bible says there were 12 baskets remaining. Don't you tell me God won't make a way out of no way. Bread is important. Jesus says, the first request you make of God is, give us this day our daily bread. We could have substituted that word bread for more than just food. It could be for our jobs, for our homes, for our family, for all of our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Oftentimes, people are asked, are you the breadwinner of your home? You go on the street corners, and someone will say to you, give me some bread. Guess what? They're not talking about food. They're talking about what? Money. Bread is so powerful. It's so powerful, it's included in this Holy Eucharist experience we're going to partake and share this morning. It reminds me of a great story as I get ready to close. A story about this woman who always, she would praise the Lord. We would say she was a religious woman, fanatic, if you will. But she served God, she believed in God, she depended upon God. She always would give thanks to God and say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And nothing's wrong with that. Her neighbor, next door neighbor, couldn't stand it. He would always tell her, there's no God. You're wasting your time praising God and giving thanks to God. That's just foolishness. That's why I don't believe in God. He was an atheist. But she kept on thanking God. One day she had no food in the refrigerator, no bread in the bread bin, nothing. But guess what she did? She kept on giving thanks to God. She said, Lord, I'm depending on you to make a way out of no way. And she continued to give thanks to God, continued to praise God so much that that next door neighbor went over to her house and said, "Hey, stop all that fuss. Go to bed." She went to bed that night. I don't know if that's her calling now. But the next morning, she got up. And lo and behold, it was a bag of groceries at her front door. And she started praising God and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah." And that next door neighbor, he came over to her and said, "Hey, don't you do all that. God didn't put that food at your door." I did. "I put those groceries at your door this morning." That woman really started praising God and thanking God. She said, "Thank you, Jesus. I knew you would make a way out of no way, but I didn't know you would have a fool to give me some food." God will make a difference if we depend on Him for our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.